around 100 AD, where he was believed to be around 90 years old.
So, how old would he have been then when he was with Jesus?
20.
That would make him like 120 years old.
Well, Jesus.
Oh yeah, AD 33. That's yeah. Right.
And but John was AD 23 or so.
Well, because that's when the zero starts, right? Yeah, after AD. So,
yeah.
So okay, so he would have been 20 or something then.
Birth. Yeah.
Huh?
Zero starts at his birth, not at his death.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
When although there's some debate
about AD. Yeah, yeah. I know there's a little bit.
It looks like I see quite a favorable evidence for it being about 1 BC. But our calendar is about a year off on that. But yeah,
I've heard an argument for about 30-something years or so. But not.
But yeah, he would have been crucified around 33 AD is what we have listed as his crucifixion. So at that time, John would have been in his early 20s.
Like okay. Well, that makes more sense with the time frame then.
Yeah.
So if you say John died at 90, right?
It's believed that he died around 90 years old. Would have been around 100 AD. He lived a few years after writing this. Finished out his days in Ephesus. Only one to die of natural causes of the original disciples.
Not that he wasn't martyred for.
He
didn't actually die the death, but he certainly suffered the torment.
The persecutors, those persecuting him, tried, but.
Yeah, considering the martyr aspect too, as far as exiling him, the Romans knew that when they martyred a Christian, it didn't give the effect that they wanted to. It typically spread greater. So, yeah, I think a lot of them would be like, yeah, just get him from somewhere where nobody's going to see him and just let him be. Mm-hmm.
Get him out.
Yeah, how much influence can he really have on this island of exile? Our path didn't quite work, so let's try that.
That perhaps he may not have been able to. There was a lot of correspondence, but it's unclear if he was actually able to send this letter from Patmos, or once he got released and went back to Ephesus, if he started it himself.
Yeah, that's what I was curious sending it about.
To Ephesus. So that's kind of unclear. We're not sure about that.
Okay. I could see very well. More likely, I would think that somebody would came and visit him. And because, I mean, he would have probably not been allowed to if he's exiled there to leave. You know what I mean? Very likely a trusted brother would have came and, you know, and sent the letter along and him explained to them the importance of it or something. So I could see that, but I don't know the history fully on it.
Yeah, but if they did try to restrict how much influence he was having, he might have had to do it himself after he was released. The emperor... Domitian.
Yeah.
Hard to say. Nero's a lot easier to say. But Domitian is believed to be, was the Roman emperor at the time of John writing this. He was very much against the Christians, very much persecuted. And it's either him directly or his policies through the Roman government that landed John here in Patmos. John tended to, it seems the Apostle John tended to use kind of Ephesus, might have been there's some consideration that it may have been that the Roman leadership at Ephesus was the one that sent John to Patmos, possibly. So Ephesus might have been John's kind of center of his ministry or his home base after, with the loss of Jerusalem. He may have been kind of working at Ephesus. Obviously, Paul also spent quite a while in Ephesus. He spent about 3 years and then wrote back to them in Ephesians, or back to Ephesus. I do want to touch on that next week as well. When we're talking about the Church of Ephesus. So any...
Tracy, don't turn off that computer. I'll get some of those slides. I got my thumb drive.
So, any other thoughts or questions, or what do you think? Make sure I'm not doing all the talking. I think this is going to be very interesting. There's a lot of even I think it's going to be interesting trying to have a whole class on such a small section of text, but looking at the volumes that have been written about these things, I think
there's a lot there.
Some very careful dissection of these, I think we'll have some very interesting insight, very interesting things to touch on. And I'd rather focus on just one at a time. We could try, in thinking through the study and praying about it as well, we could have tried to tackle two or three at a time. I think that's confusing. And every study I've been in where they've tried to tackle groups of them at a time, you always end up like, okay, which one was that?
Jumbled it a little bit.
It's confusing.
And also, you know, the word is there for us to learn lessons of what happened to them in the past and et cetera. If we take one at a time, that gives us time to search our heart, our life, our situation. What can we
exactly
not fall very into good. That? If you do two or three, then it's like...
That second one kind of applied to me, or I forgot. Or,
yeah. Right.
Exactly. I like for it to have its full meaning. Just focus on one at a time. That pretty well concludes what I have for material today. I enjoyed preparing for this. It was kind of interesting. They were talking about just even talking about like, well, is this the Apostle John or not? And the talk was. He doesn't do much to introduce himself. He's pretty sure his audience knows exactly who he is. That lends quite a bit of credibility to him that was indeed the Apostle John. He didn't really need an introduction because he just says, "John, your brother." Like you should know who I am. He's just kind of just given there. Like, yeah, kind of similar to Paul's introductions in his. He's I Paul or. Yeah, they're apostles.
Probably at that point in his age, he didn't want any credit anyway, any recognition.
Yeah, even in his gospel, he hardly named himself in his gospel either. He just refers to the beloved or the one Jesus loved. He doesn't spend a lot. John's not one to talk about himself very much. He identifies himself, but that's about it.
I read a book about him once, and it was really interesting because he was the last one left that had actually been with Jesus, and they respected him so much and what he said, and because of that, because he had actually been with Jesus and heard him, and he was just so highly respected, and what he said, they really listened to him, you know, it was just...
Oh, who should talk about? John?
Yeah, Apostle John. Yeah.
That was the same John on Revelation?
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah. Wrote Revelation and wrote the Gospel of John, wrote the Epistles of John. There's three of them in there. Now, that thinking about it, here he is. Paul's gone. Paul was killed in the late 60s AD before the fall of Jerusalem. Paul and Peter are gone. James is gone. Several of the key. John's, there's a while there that John is the last guy. He's the last apostle. I don't know exactly when, but most of them were gone by, most of the really key ones were gone by 70 AD, by the fall of Jerusalem. Those other ones had already been executed, crucified in various ways. Through the 60s and 70s.
It's kind of wild that he was the last one. Like, he was stuck by Jesus' side to the very end, you know what I mean, kind of thing. And so
he
was at the cross and the whole thing, and he called out to his mother and said, "Behold your mother," and all that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. There's an interesting thought. So, I heard somebody say this one time. I wish I could give him credit. But
you said, who was on the cross?
John.
John was on the cross?
Yes, John's the only disciple we know of that who was at the cross. And then,
what do you mean at the cross? You mean he was hurt on the cross?
No, he was there when Jesus was on the cross.
Oh, okay.
With his mother Mary, and I think was it the other Mary?
I think there was
two Marys.
That's what I was thinking.
Mary's.
But yeah, there was at least referred to as John and Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
So some say that John kind of already had his martyr's death there.
Mm-hmm.
That he that this is speculation. I can't point to a verse saying that, but in a symbolic way, he was there and witnessed Jesus dying. By being there witnessing, it was an interesting parallel that he's the one who doesn't die from a martyr's death. Being a witness to being a witness to the crucifixion itself. I think somebody said it's kind of like he in a way he died, part of him died that day. Seeing the part of himself, died watching Jesus die, and that it was, and that's why he didn't have a physical martyr's death. Interesting thought.
It's a good thought.
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying that says that we're all supposed to preach the gospel, and when you have to use words. John makes me think of that. Just his very being, what he's doing.
Yeah. Just being there.
A witness, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when everyone else fled, he was there, and Jesus entrusted him with taking care of his mother.
And even after that, everybody knew. There's John.
I just found it interesting how Jesus kind of prophesied what John would end up doing. Because the one time where Peter's like, well, what about him? As far as what they're talking about. And he's like, I've already got plans for him. I'm just worried about you.
That's one of my favorite verses. Is he's telling Peter, when you're old, you will be led where you don't want to be led. And even says, alluding to how he would die. And then he refers to John and says, what about him? And Jesus says, if I decide to leave him here until I return, what's that to you? Jesus is right in place. Like, what's that to you? And he even goes on to clarify. He says, that doesn't mean that Jesus said that this disciple would live until the Lord returns. It just merely said, if I chose to do that, what's that to you? But in a sense, in a way, John gets to see John sees the return of the Lord. It's interesting how that all fits together. Because in a way, he did see the return of the Lord. He saw it prophetically. Yeah. Saw it happen beforehand. I love that word. Him telling Peter, like, wait, what's that to you? Well, I've got plans for him. Exactly like you were saying. He's like, you need to pay attention to what I just told you about yourself. You need to not worry about somebody else.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Because, I mean, what's time to an eternal God, outside of every restriction of time? We know it as, And it's interesting. It's like... Because that's one of the things the skeptics and stuff will say or something, anything like that. It makes me think of whenever Adam and Eve are eating of the, or warned, instructed not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, where, say, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And Adam went on to live like near 1,000 years, right? But the thing is, it's like, 900, something like that. Yeah, over 900 years.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, you call whenever David writes that 1,000 days is as to the Lord one day, or one day is as 1,000 days. And so it's interesting that, basically before that 1,000 years, he was dead. And really, in another sense, though, too, that he was... basically sentenced to death at that point in time. Yeah. So,
let's call it double fulfillment.
Sure, yeah.
He experienced spiritual death at the moment of that sin, and then his physical death. And I love that analogy, too. Mm-hmm. A day to the Lord is like 1,000 years.
Right.
And he says that day you'll surely die, and no human ever reaches 1,000 years.
Right.
No, every human dies within... Even the oldest was even Methuselah.
Mm-hmm.
969.
Yeah.
Methuselah's cool, I know. So his name means, translated, when he dies, it will come.
Yeah.
And he dies the same year as the flood comes. And it's interesting, so here's this guy whose name is tied to God's judgment's coming. And when he dies, the judgment's going to come.
oh no, Methuselah's got a cough or a sneeze or something.
Watch about his son Noah's dad dies well before Methuselah does. It's just interesting. The guy whose death is tied to judgment's going to come. God gives him the longest life we have on record. It's like I'm postponing my judgment as long as I can. Hmm. I'm giving you guys time.
Yeah, that's
you time to repent.
That's neat.
Love that.
Somebody did scientific study saying that people were able to live that long before the Noah's flood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was ice blocking the ultraviolet ray.
Yeah, some kind of canopy. Yeah, Josephus writes about it.
When that melt, the ultraviolet ray start to damage our skin much quicker,
Mm-hmm. That could be.
After the flood, you definitely see the earth change dramatically, the flood, because life expectancy just plummets after the flood. So it's like, dramatically changed.
Yeah, and possibility, the flood washed the nutrient away.
Could affect a lot of things. It could affect our food.
Definitely the environment.
Affect the environment.
Well, the one thing about I tell people about goldfish, that they can grow as big as their environment facilitates. And the thing about cold-blooded reptiles and amphibians and whatever, it's a similar kind of thing. They have to have a certain kind of environment to have that oxygen flowing through their cold blood and stuff, to be able to grow to the bigness that they agree to.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
There's definitely when we looked at past animals, they tend to be really big. Like living things used to be a lot bigger. And
evolution is like from tiny things to big, but not as much diversity to diversity. You know what I mean? It's actually the reverse of all of it.
It looks like our planet used to be able to sustain. May have had much more oxygen in the air. May have had higher air pressure. Had things that would have allowed a bigger animal to live.
Full nutrition.
Also, yeah.
Everything.
The food maybe. Then you could see a human being living longer. Higher oxygen content. I've seen some interesting, and it's not necessarily really solid science, but it's theorizing that there was a frozen canopy over, that there was higher air pressure, higher oxygen content. And the belief being, from talking to some doctors, that if you put a human in that environment, that a human would have extra endurance, would have an extra sharp mind with that extra oxygen, had all this better metabolism, all these benefits that would come from that, from having more oxygen and having higher air pressure. You could easily see, some environmental factors where we'd live a long time.
A neat, very, very extremely neat thing about all the names up to Noah is their name meanings. And it's all like a prophecy of like the flood and the new redemption brought in Jesus. Chuck Missler does a thing on it, and it's just some simple thing. I can't remember all of it, but this is like, so you're telling me that these Jewish dudes had this conspiracy to tell about Jesus the Christ, exactly like what his name means and exactly whatever. It's like just incredible, the list of name meanings.
I need to look that up. I've heard that before. Yeah. Adam means man. It starts out like man.
Man appointed mortal.
Fallen.
That's
about being...
Like that.
Yeah, be
someone
being redeemed. And Methuselah's name fits in there. Like it's going to come.
And his death shall bring rest or something along those lines.
Yeah, Lamech and Noah kind of together mean like his death will bring.
And
it's referring to Jesus. It's the meanings of their names tells
the story of
Christ. That's amazing.
Incredible. Yeah,
spread out over. A couple thousand years. Mm-hmm. Spread out over 1,000 years.
Yeah. Wild stuff.
So, that is... it's fascinating, especially those early times, how much their lives overlapped. That was a massive lifespan. I know we've
imagine
before,
what
but,
could be accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you can ask, how did great-great-grandfather used to do this? Well, I'll ask him tomorrow when I see him. we have all this experiential knowledge from Seth, we even overlapped almost. I think Seth overlapped with Noah. Like it's like there's 1,000 years there, but there's a lot of overlaps. And then one of Shem, Noah's son, lived another 600 years after the flood, and he's all the way to like Isaac, like to Abraham, talking about Abraham and Isaac. And you see, so you would have had eyewitnesses to things that happened centuries ago. So when we look at the Bible, like it's like, well, it's a lot of stories. Like those, you know, or how did they get preserved for that time period? People lived a long time, and they you had eyewitnesses for centuries. Mm-hmm. That's how we now have the benefit of Genesis, the first 11 chapters of Genesis. From those
and all the Hebrews being there in Goshen and stuff too, and the huge library there, and Moses' access to it all.
Throughout this, hopefully we see how God has laid out history. Everything with Alexander the Great spreading Greek culture, and then the Romans come into power and building roads. This is perfect way to spread the gospel. And Jesus dies, and you have raises from the dead. We need to spread the good news. We have common languages, and we have business and commerce going all over the known world. We have all these roads and all these things that used to be separate empires that wouldn't even talk to each other are now. You can translate into now. You have Greek, common throughout, and you have
everything set the stage for wow.
Everything unfolded exactly to. Be ready.
According to plan.
Be ready to spread the gospel.
Providence.
Yeah.
Plan, purpose.
Yeah, it is crazy how the Bible went from a family tradition to kind of a nation to worldwide.
Mm-hmm. to a global church. a global body of Christ. How about that? Yeah. From a family.
Separating light from darkness.
Yeah.
Since from the beginning.
All right. Well, are we ready for go ahead and close in prayer? And sure, I know there's school night and everything, so I don't want to keep you too long. Lord, thank you so much for this study. Pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this word, guide our steps as we explore this, Lord, that help us to get content even more, just content in our hearts, more so than even following a form or anything like that, Lord. We thank you for this time. I ask you to be with everybody on their trip home. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So be it. Amen.
Appreciate you guys coming out on Tuesday night. Good to see everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.